BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
One question. Is it too late to change the name?
Nerd Radio starts now.
Welcome to this week's Nerd Radio, all over where you get your podcast, the iTunes, the, I think we're on the Podbean, we're on the B-Pod Network and all that good stuff.
We're on Spotify.
I don't know if we're on Spotify. I'm going to have to check.
No idea.
But hey, it's Nerd Radio.
Way to go, James.
If you're listening to this, you found us.
You can edit this if you really want.
Oh, there's no editing on Nerd Radio?
No. The only editing is when I have to add DMX for a swear.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
I don't know, James, are you familiar with that?
No.
If you want, you can swear on Nerd Radio.
Yeah.
It's just that I have to go back in and kind of bleep it. And instead of bleeping it, DMX just kind of pops out of the ceiling and goes, what?
Oh.
So it's fun.
I like it.
It started
barking.
We get that too. Yeah.
Whatever
yeah.
he does. I don't know. Yeah, I know he stop, drop, open up shop, and that's about all I got on DMX.
It all started.
That's a great Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
The backstory behind why we use DMX is not really any better than it was when the first Deadpool movie came out.
Yeah.
And that the X Gonna Give It to You or whatever song was part of the trailer.
Yep.
And for no reason at all, Chuck just started using like a soundboard from DMX.
That was probably when
it used to be R2-D2.
Yep.
It used to be an R2.
It used to be guys from Team Fortress 2.
Yep.
I had some sound clips of those guys. But then I discovered that I love DMX and his particular brand of hip hop.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
So there it is.
Yep.
Of course, as always,
we could have explained this to him off mic, but no.
No,
why?
Why
bother?
You know what? We might have some new listeners, so they need to know too.
We're trying to give him, a solid 30 minutes of what were we calling it?
Goofballery.
Goofballery. Yeah, that's right.
Goofballery.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I just sneezed there.
Yeah.
So it's in tight.
So, if you're listening, of course, you're joining us once again for another week in Nerd Radio. It is James and Al Beck.
Mm-hmm.
And James doesn't get a last name. He's just James.
I'm just James. Well, I'd like to go just by James, though.
Right.
Yeah. He's like Cher.
I never thought of it in that way.
Yeah.
Like Sting, Cher, Bono, all the greats. Just the one name. If only James had a little more zing to it, you know? But like, there's so many people on radio that have names that could either be like a person on radio or a dog. So I want to avoid names like that. So I just used the name my mother gave me, James. So
have you ever gone Jim or Jimmy or anything? From your Jimmy Death Nuts, obviously.
Yeah, Jimmy Death Nuts is the only time at Jim I find to be appropriate and acceptable. Like I actually got into it in high school with a chemistry teacher who would keep calling me Jim.
Yeah.
Jim. Jim. Why are you playing with your calculator, Jim? And I would look up and be like, I'm sorry. Are you talking to me? Because my name is James.
Right.
Yeah.
And he did not like that.
So. Well, you didn't like it when he called you Jim.
Yeah, my mom stood up for me in that moment in time, too. She's like, well, your name is James. It is not Jim. So he should be calling you James.
Yeah.
And I stopped playing Snake on my phone after that, too.
Yeah, I've got a nephew who's named James, but he goes by Jimmy. Mm-hmm. And he had the complete reverse problem. They kept calling him James in class and it drove him nuts.
Yeah, it's weird how it works out. Like whatever you want, you never get. You can't always get what you want.
Right.
And it's been true.
Yeah, well, they tried that particular class. I don't know why we're getting into this, but
I was about to say, let's turn the tables. How about Alan? Did you have anybody call you Alan and you're like, no?
Whichever one feels more comfortable to you.
I mean,
it's so funny because when I leave the radio station, everyone in my outside life calls me Alan.
Huh.
And then I come in here. What was really nice was when I had the Slayer nickname, there was like 3 degrees of separation. I would be at home. Everyone called me Alan, and then I would come to work. Everyone in the hallways would call me Al. Then I'd go on the air, and listeners only knew me as Slayer.
Good Lord!
And
how did you keep up with it?
Oh, I liked it actually. I liked it.
Three personalities.
It's like it's like Mick Foley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cactus Jack.
Right.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Mankind.
And it gets to the point where it's like, you know what? Whichever one you want to call me, neither is wrong. I think most people end up calling me both, like Andy Green, he'll call me Alan or Al.
Yeah, I always hear him refer to you as
Ellen.
Yes. Yeah.
Ellen.
I like to address people with their full name occasionally. So I'll hit them with an Andrew. You know,
sure.
I'll hit you and Chuck the Freak with a Charles every so often.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
I haven't heard that before.
Oh, yeah.
Charles.
So,
Charles. Charles just seems like...
Charles is more like a...
Well, Charles. Well, Chuck say?
Yeah, you got to throw something by like Charles. Right. Good day, Charles. Yes. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I've always known you as Al, because I've only known Al. Like, I know you know my girlfriend, so she always referred to you as Al. So Slayer, because I was like, Al, you know, trying to get it. When we first came over to the Rift, trying to figure everybody out, and it was always Al. So Slayer for me, it never caught on.
Yeah.
I only get angry when people call me Chucky.
Chucky?
Yeah.
I don't dig that.
No.
And see, like, so for me, when there's we first met you, we were calling you Bean.
Right.
Like Bean, right. So I'm like, does he want to be in the Bean?
My first conversation with Dave, mm-hmm. he was like, you know, so we already got a Chuck on the show, what do you want us to refer to you? And I was like, well, in order to make it not confusing, you mm-hmm. just call me Bean.
I love that. That's a great nickname. It is also an actual name. Like Bean worked.
There you go.
Unless you're very anti-vegetable, then.
No, Bean's great. Love them. They're fantastic.
And that's our name. Good night, everybody. Thanks for downloading this episode of Nerd Radio.
You wanted some Nerd Radio.
It's the name game.
There's
of
nicknames
Nerd Radio.
And what we prefer.
Right. Yeah. So there you go. Let's talk about what's going on this week in the world of nerds. We did not get our Avengers trailer we were talking about last week.
Well, I heard it's supposed to be coming out this week now.
Friday, they're saying. Yeah,
that's what
I saw too. We'll address that when it actually happens.
Do we have any idea we're looking at a May release again for this?
I think so, yeah.
Probably.
I think so.
Because the movie that comes out before it, we actually got a trailer of on Monday during Monday Night Football, and that's Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And that looks like it's going to be fantastic. We finally got a look at a movie adaptation of a Skrull, so they're going to be the villains of this movie, which would be super fun. And some cool shots of her flying through the air and shooting laser blasts and all sorts of fun stuff.
I love shooting a laser blast.
Yeah, me too. And we found
enemies? The dudes with the big green heads?
Yeah.
Yeah,
the guys that are shape-shifting and stuff.
Yeah,
okay. Oh, I didn't realize they were shape-shifting.
Oh, yeah.
I'm only familiar with these guys through my collection of, like, Marvel cards.
Sure.
Oh, okay, so,
Skrulls can shape-shift into, you know, whatever they want to look like. So they're going to be on Earth already. That's why in the trailer she punches an old lady on a train, because that old lady's a Skrull.
Nice. I didn't even watch a trailer. Like, I'm living... Cause
you're
I'm
living the Al Beck
it.
Life.
So I'm living... I'm watching right. movies the way...
No one needs to live the Al Beck, Al Beck life. Jesus Christ.
I won't adopt his whole lifestyle.
No.
But
right. But
his
at least in that...
way of watching movie trailers, I'm all for.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a very bland life.
Speaking of Captain Marvel, though, I did read a nice article on CBR.com, Comic Book Resources, that Brie Larson, who's the lead character in Captain Marvel, when she met Kelly Sue DeConnick, who wrote Captain Marvel for many years, like 5 years ago or something like that. Like, I would say almost the reason we have a Captain Marvel movie is because Kelly Sue took the character and adapted it into something that Marvel looked at and went, we can work with that.
Yeah.
That's cool. When Brie Larson actually met Kelly on the set of things, she was nervous.
Yeah.
She was like, this lady knows more about Captain Marvel than I ever will, because she's written her for a long time. I'm just, you know, kind of standing in the role.
You're just pretending to be the person that she created.
Right, exactly.
That's what her role is.
So I thought that was kind of cool. That's one of those like, oh, cool, you get it.
Yeah, it shows an appreciation for it, you know, even if, I mean, I don't know if she was reading it growing up or not, but, you know, at least she looked into it enough to know that.
She knows that, like, this is the person, this is the source material, so. Yeah. I wouldn't have this job if it wasn't for this person doing the work years ago.
Yeah,
would that make you nervous? I'd be more like thankful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you so much for pursuing what you love
so that
I can now make a crap ton of cash.
I can get this paycheck.
Yes, so thank you. I am forever a part of the Marvel Universe because of you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my God, and being in like a main character in one of those movies, you're set forever.
Yeah.
Seems like.
You would imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think anyone in this room knows exactly how many zeros are on that paycheck.
I don't know either.
Probably more than I've ever seen on any of my paychecks.
That's where I was headed.
That's true, but I haven't always been known for being the best with money, so I'm sure I could burn through it. Sure I could burn through it pretty quick.
Yeah, I got this whole fantastic collection of comics and candy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, speaking of burning
my 8 foot tall Captain Kirk that I buy.
Anatomically correct. You want to see?
You literally,
that's how I do. Show me, please.
You literally just bought William Shatner. You didn't buy a stand-up or anything like that. You just bought William Shatner. He's in a glass case.
On stilts,
He just cooks you dinner.
And berates the hell out of me. God, this was a bad purchase. I don't need William Shatner living with me.
Well, you keep buying those cheap $1 Hormel frozen dinners. He's sick of warming them up.
Yep.
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, speaking of blowing through money, story that Luke Skywalker's original Star Wars lightsaber expected to score $150,000 at an auction.
Holy crap.
That's going on. Profiles in History, considered the largest dealer of authentic pieces of Hollywood memorabilia, is preparing to hold an auction in L.A. They'll be loaded with Star Wars stuff, including Luke's original lightsaber.
Would now, see, it's a good thing you don't have that paycheck, because that's exactly where it would be going.
Oh, yeah. Like, I want every authentic artifact from all the Star Wars movies you have.
That's what I was going to say. Is that the kind of thing that you guys, like, if it was remotely in your price range, you'd be like, I got to have that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no. Yeah. I think we could go 50-50 on the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, give me anything from the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
Any Boba Fett's armor. You know, it could be his butt plate. I don't care. I'll take it, you know.
How cool would it be to have, like, obviously it doesn't work, but the chess table from the Millennium Falcon?
Oh, yeah.
Just sit in your house?
Cool. Yeah. Because you could still, even if you wanted to, first of all, it would be behind, you know, it would be encased in carbonite at home. Take care of it.
Keep it in the kitchen, off to the side.
No,
like, stack bills on
it. You know someone's putting something dirty on that, and I don't know.
I'd be rolling doobies on it.
Yeah,
I'm going to just use this as a rolling tray.
It'd be a coffee cup circle somewhere on it.
I forgot who I was talking to. James would use it for you.
I got to roll something up real quick. Can I borrow that chessboard? Is that a chessboard? Yeah, you won't need this.
You could use that for your live stream. You could just, like, when you unbox stuff, you unbox it on the table.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
My unboxing platform.
Yeah. Right.
Well, clean up your stem.
I also dry my man thongs on it.
Clean up your.
That's perfect.
I'm going to rip the arm right out of your socket.
How much does it cost, Al? This is a nice little board. What, 20 bucks? 30? Oh, your entire life savings.
I'll never save that much in my entire life. Jesus. Wow.
How many kids do you sell for this? Oh, one, because you need one to live. Gotcha. Maybe you can get a few bucks for your gallbladder.
Oh,
I forgot to say it earlier when we were saying James is like one of those one name people like share or something like that. Yeah. Now Jimmy Deathnuts is going to show up on his stream in like the share outfit.
Oh yeah.
Do you believe in life?
Oh my God! So look forward to that.
A thing was born.
Yep. See, there you go. Look forward to that on James Street.
Glorious, glamorous, and shiny. And dark all at the same time.
Yep.
It's beautiful. It really is. Yeah.
This weekend is finally the release of Smash Brothers on the Nintendo Switch, which you guys will hear more about because I'm definitely jumping on that bandwagon when it comes out.
You getting it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. We'll have to have you do a review for Casual Gamer.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
We'll have to have you do
Heck, it's the Switch, man. I'll bring it in and we can smash each other on the little time thing. Yeah.
I'll smash you real good.
We're going to smash.
Yeah, we'll smash it up.
Do you have a Switch, James?
I do not.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah. I haven't convinced him of it yet.
Yeah, he's been...
Not a cult leader, but I'm like following a cult now. I'm drinking the Switch Kool-Aid because everything's like, you've been pretty happy with it. I'm so happy with it, yeah. So one of these days I'm going to go to turn on, it's going to be broken. I'm going to be real sad.
Yeah.
Well, you know the first person to look at.
Yeah.
Significant other.
Yeah.
Amy!
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, Pikachu beats you in Smash Brothers again, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Where's my Switch? And don't even look at my chessboard, Amy!
Wow. A little glimpse of the life of being a hell significant other.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah. So, Pete's.
Was it too aggressive? Was it too much? I was just trying to go for a callback.
You're really passionate about your chessboard.
Next time I see Amy, though, she's going to punch me.
Yeah, right. I did want to mention this weekend, too. The Rift going to be taking part of Detroit Renegades Esports Live.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming up Sunday, December 9th. They're going to be down at the Beacon Park from 1 to 4 p.m. They're going to be playing Fortnite. That's pretty much my feelings, too. We'll take a break and talk about some more games because I got some game stuff. I know, Al, you've gotten to try out a little bit of Red Dead.
I did get to try a little
bit. I'd love to hear your stories about it. I got to try out a little bit of the online over the weekend, and I got some Fortnite gripes.
So, online is out now, so I'm already behind.
That's how I felt. Like, I only played it. We'll get to it. We're going to take a break. We're coming back. More Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hi, this is Billy West, your old pal. And this is Philip J. Fry, 25-year-old pizza delivery boy, and I was sitting here listening to Nerd Radio.
It's real cool. You don't know anything about radio. Listen to me. I was a radio guy, and I know better than you. Kip, alert the men. I've made it with a woman. On Nerd Radio?
Welcome back to Nerd Radio, all over your podcast feed, and of course on social media at Nerd Radio 101. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter. We're everywhere. We're everywhere.
We're on the socials.
All the socials. Follow us on the socials. We'll follow you back.
How about Grindr?
No, we're not on Grindr.
You got to work on that one.
Not yet. Mm. Yeah, for sure.
You can be our representative.
Hey, you got it, man. I bet you'll get a lot of listeners.
Yeah. Al Beck, James, and Chuck Bean hanging out with you. We were talking earlier, just before we decided to break, we were talking about we're having the Detroit Renegades Esports Live event coming up on Sunday at Beacon Park, downtown Detroit. And they're going to be playing Fortnite. We've talked before, me and James, about both Fortnite and PUBG. Mm-hmm. Over the weekend, for reasons we'll get to, a little bit of foreshadowing, I finally tried out PUBG Mobile.
Yeah, what'd you think?
Phone. I love it.
Yeah, it's so much better than playing on the console, right?
I don't know, because I haven't played on the console, because that costs money.
Oh, yes, that's true, yes.
Whereas the mobile, I just downloaded it. It was fine.
I feel like somebody had it in the game shop for free.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I don't know if it was PS4 or...
I'll have to look.
But you might check. Make sure you check soon, because I think somebody had it for free, like as if you were a part of the gold member or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah,
but
try
it out.
I was saying, why is the? I mean, I can't imagine the mobile game being better than a console game. So why is that?
It blows my mind. But I am so much better at aiming and shooting than on the phone, because I'm just using my thumbs, and the way it's set up with your thumbs on the phone, it just is so much easier to line up your enemy and then shoot them compared to like the joysticks on a controller.
Okay.
And also, maybe people are more like the hardcore PUBG gamers are probably like way better on the console than on the phone, because they're like, why am I going to play on the phone?
Yeah. Right.
You know, yeah, which is exactly why I'm asking you why it's better, because that sounds crazy to me.
You get to be more of a big fish in a small pond.
Yeah.
More
than likely. The fish now, pond.
Second game, I got Winter Chicken Dinner.
I still have that one.
Second
a
game.
Match.
However,
no matter what.
However, I posted it to my social media like, wow, second game of PUBG, and I already love this way more than Fortnite. And immediately somebody's like, you know, you're playing a lot of bots.
That's what people say, but maybe there could be a few bots.
I
guess
I got to poo-poo it. Yeah. Get out of here.
It could be a few bots, but there's definitely humans playing.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Because I've been called a lot of derogatory terms by said humans at a play.
Yeah.
So unless they got bots dropping derogatory terms for homosexuals and things like that, and then, well, PUBG, you got some issues.
How much fun would it be to write that algorithm, though?
Right, right. You just got all these samples of just random people. How much fun would that be to get paid, like, here's $50, can you swear into the microphone for the next 5 minutes?
I do that for Sign free here.
Up. Right?
Yeah. Sign me up.
See?
Fuck! Yeah, DMX in the house.
But no,
we're old pals, me and DMX.
I don't know. For me, as I was saying earlier, Fortnite, I don't like it because it just throws you, it feels like it throws you in the deep end of the pool. Like, I can't tell you how many times I played Fortnite and, like, I go down, I get sniped, whatever, before I even know what's happening.
The second you get off that blimp or the party bus, whatever they call it, and you land, you're pretty much dead. But I want to offer up another option.
Okay.
There's a game I've been playing the closed beta on called Realm Royale.
All right.
It used to be called Paladins, and I would say this game is like Fortnite 2.0. Like, it's like they took everything that's good about Fortnite and made it better.
Ooh.
Like, I'm in love with the game right now. So it's like Fortnite, but instead of always running around and building stuff, you can summon a horse.
Hey!
So, oh, okay.
Like, you'll be walking around, you still have the loot treasures, and there's forges, so you can, like, build weapons and stuff.
Right.
But it's still like a loot 'em up, shoot 'em up game.
Interesting.
A battle royale style, you know, be the last man standing. But I feel like the graphics are great. It's real smooth. I'm recommending anybody who's played Fortnite or PUBG, if you enjoy that style.
Now,
like,
what is
check
that?
This out.
What is that on?
It's Xbox, PlayStation 4, PC.
Okay.
And there's a closed beta right now if you go to RealmRoyale.com.
Nice.
And Royale, like Royale with cheese, like R-O-Y-A-L-E. I believe you can sign up for the closed beta. They'll send you a code, and you pop that code into either the PS4 store or the Xbox store, and you'll download it. It's a quick 5 gig download, and you're up and you're running, you're playing. And
nice.
I've had more fun playing this game. I've gotten more kills. I've been playing the game since Friday. I got more kills playing the game since Friday off and on than I have my whole time playing Fortnite over, like, the last year and a half.
Right.
Like, the first match I think I played, I got smoked. I was still getting acclimated to the controls and stuff. Next match, 4 kills.
Nice.
Next match, 2 kills. Then you get pwned a few times, but then I keep coming back. And
right.
It's kind of funny and unique in the way, so once you get smoked, you still have like a last chance. You turn into a chicken. So all of a sudden, you turn into this little cartoony chicken, yeah. and you're running around, cluck, 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 cluck. And if you can survive as that chicken for like 15 seconds, you turn back into a human again.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Hey. You can go back, you know, so you have like a second wind.
Now, do you get that every time you go down, or you just get the once?
I think you get it 3 times. So if you go down 3 times, I think you're out. I haven't got that far.
Right.
Because once I turn into a chicken,
people
I'm
people know to shoot the chicken.
Yeah, I'm dead. But somebody actually outsmarted me, which really pissed me off. Because I had this guy, I take him out, he turns into the chicken, and there's a cactus, a big cactus.
Yeah.
This mofo runs around this cactus avoiding me like in like elementary school like bully. He comes back, turns into a human, goes to shoot me. I knock him out again. He's the chicken again for the second time. We run around the same damn cactus.
Oh, man.
He turns into a human. So I'm like, forget this. I'm not chasing you anymore.
Right.
And he comes up and he kills me.
Oh,
turns
son
me into a chicken,
of
so I'm trying to do the whole cactus routine also.
Right.
He gets me before I get
nah,
to the
he's
cactus.
An old hand at running you around a cactus.
Yeah, whereas, man. Like, so that SOB got me good. I was so pissed. That was the first
they gotta
time.
Have, like, they've got to have some emote or whatever where, like, after you shoot someone, you can just boot that chicken.
Yes.
Oh, that would be sweet. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to say earlier about summoning a horse. Like, Al and longtime listeners know about my my complications.
Wow, I tried to drink.
Whoa.
You're complicated.
I am a professional radio person.
That's true.
Complicated history with,
with horses.
Video game horses.
Yeah,
is
some
what
horses I
trying
really,
to say with a mouthful of water.
Some horses I really can't stand. Other horses, that's all right.
That number one being Shadow of the Colossus.
Oh, that horse in Shadow of the Colossus. That felt so good when I ran that horse off a cliff.
That horse, yes.
F that horse, man. But I was going to say, my experience with PUBG was really cool. I like that you can duck down into prone.
Mm-hmm.
That helped a lot. And even if I'm playing against bots, that's a great way to intro you to the game as opposed to Fortnite. Where I really enjoy not having the building aspect whatsoever.
Yes.
Like just distilling it down to like, look, drop in. Raid houses, get your weapons, and then be the last one standing.
Yeah, because in Fortnite, all of a sudden you hear a gunshot go off. I have like an apartment building that's like 4 stories tall built, and I'm hiding in the corner now. So come and get me.
Yep.
Yeah. When with the other game, like PUBG, a gunshot goes off. I got to find cover. I got to get down. It's like it's so much more, I don't know the right word for it, but it just, I don't know if it's a pacing thing or what, but I just hate the fact that as soon as you hear a gunshot go off in Fortnite, now the people are building houses. They got a giant wall.
Yep.
You know, like I got a castle. All of a sudden, I got shot at. Now I live in a castle. Come and get me. It's not as user friendly. I guess I don't know. I hate that portion of it.
In anticipation of this thing this weekend, I re-downloaded Fortnite for probably the fourth time and tried it out. And after 2 games, just uninstalled. Just rage uninstalled.
No,
just like, the hell with this.
The only reason I still have it is my nephew. Loves it.
Yeah.
And he'll come over and play. And that little bastard, I'd say that with love.
Nothing makes me feel older than like when there's a game that kids everywhere adore and I don't understand why.
Yeah.
Well, I tried it. I did a whole thing on Facebook and Twitter. Give me a game to buy or download or whatever. And Fortnite was free. It still is. So I just, you know, went ahead and downloaded it.
Right.
I didn't enjoy myself at all playing this game. I, you know, like the third person to die every time, which is, you know, whatever. But my nephew, I bring him over, and he's like, yeah, I've heard of it, I want to try it. And he sucked the first game. Second game, he was ranked number 16. I was like, you son. How?
Yeah.
Oh, because you're 9.
Is this good?
Yeah.
It says Victory Royale. Is that good?
Is that good?
Did I do something good in that? What did you get? Oh, 98th? I think it was Victory Royale. That's good, right?
That's me being your
right. But don't look at my checkerboard!
No.
Or chessboard.
Not at all.
Now you're playing checkers.
Star Wars checkers.
I don't know. tried for a redeeming callback.
Can't wait to get some Monopoly.
Right.
Don't look at my Monopoly board! You know I'm the shoe! I'm always the shoe! I'm never the shoe. What am I doing? Okay. Continue. Next.
Trouble's going to come up.
Well, the reason.
My pop-matic bubble.
Don't get me started on Hungry Hungry Hippos.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Uh-oh. Yeah, that gets violent real fast.
Hungry Hungry Hippos on my morbid obesity. Well, I guess not morbid, but my adult obesity. I blame Hungry Hungry Hippos for that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Morbid obesity.
Yeah, I'm not morbidly obese.
No, you're not.
No.
Yeah.
Which makes it funnier that was the word you chose.
Yeah, that's where you went. Obese.
casual obesity.
Yeah, casual obesity. I like that. Yeah. You can tell I use morbid obesity as a punchline to a joke a lot. So,
well, the reason I even tried PUBG on my phone is because I also tried out Red Dead Redemption online.
You're still talking about PUBG? I forgot.
I'm trying to bring this back around.
See, I joined the cast of characters, and we can't get this reeled in.
To be fair,
it's always we've always been this way.
Okay. So last week, Red Dead Redemption Online dropped.
Perfectly, yeah.
Last week, Red Dead Redemption Online dropped. So I'm like, all right, I got to try it out so we can talk about it on the show. Yeah. And I hate it.
Really?
It's awful.
Really?
Now, other people are playing it, and they're probably having a good time. It's the beta. And I know there's a lot of people who are like, they don't know if the what you earn in the beta is going to translate over to when I roll it off and do an official.
So why bother?
So some people have tried it out and then stopped playing it. I like that you can, when you start out, you make your own character. It's got its completely own story, which is kind of fun. Yeah. So you can make a dude or a girl, and you got all these options to make a character. And then you go through the series of missions. And by the time I got to the first mission that I could play with other players, I'm like, okay, cool. This is going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
And that particular mission, you're supposed to go to this ranch and steal these horses.
Gotcha.
There's four horses there.
Of the apocalypse?
Yeah, right.
Anderson going to be there?
You and three other dudes. You and three other dudes try and go to this ranch and raid the thing. The first time I tried this mission out, we all run to the ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And
as you would.
Yeah. We're shooting guys down because, of course, people they're going to try and stop you from stealing the horses.
Yeah, you steal my horses, I'm taking you out. Okay.
The other three guys get their horses before I get mine
and
just book it out of there.
Bye!
And I'm stuck with like four or five dudes shooting at me because the other guy's long gone.
Adios, partner.
Right.
And here's the thing. When you play these missions, it's a little bit like the first Red Dead Redemption. You have kind of X amount of lives to get this mission done as a team. So if anybody on your team dies like three times, you got two lives between your whole team. So if you die and then I die and then James died, we lost.
Okay.
Kind of thing. I spent all three of our lives because they were long gone and I could not get my horse.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, no.
So we all lost. And I'm like, all right, I mean, that's kind of funny, but that sucks and it's infuriating. And I'm gonna play something else.
I don't think the first Red Dead Redemption Online had a
life system.
Yeah, I don't think it did.
No, but it had those.
It would just respawn you a little ways back.
It had those segments where, like, you could group up with a bunch of people and, like, go into the canyon and take out all the guys.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah.
I remember that.
I didn't do any of that. I hate people, so I used to just hook up with my brother and play online. Yeah.
But I tried it out one more. I tried it out one more time. I was still stuck. I'm stuck at that mission. Like, there's nothing else to do but that because it's supposed to introduce you to playing with other people.
So that's like the tutorial.
Yes,
and you can't do the online tutorial.
I can't get through the online tutorial.
On this podcast.
Well,
all
three of us now have PlayStation 4s.
Yeah. Right.
So. And we always got Jefferson too.
I guess I should look into getting the game because I know I've been talking to Andy Green about getting it for PS4. So
we can go on
some adventures online.
Well,
too.
Al, you tried it out over like the holiday weekend, the last weekend. You finally got to sit down.
I finally got to sit down and play the story mode. I haven't touched the online mode at all.
Right. What were your impressions?
Oh, I think it's incredible.
Yeah.
I ended up starting it over again because the day it came out, I got home from work and I played it. And I played it. It was a Friday. I played it for several hours that evening, and then I had, I had to work an event or something over the weekend, so I put it down, and then I got all busy, and then I went out of town for a couple consecutive weeks, and I just, and I went and I sat down to play it again a week or two ago, and I had no idea what the hell was going on.
What does this button do?
Well,
it shoots the gun. Well, crap.
It's like, the buttons are pretty much the same as the first game, which I played the hell out of, so, I mean, it was not much of a learning curve there, but I had, I don't know what had happened, but I ran out of time and I had to walk away. And so I put my PlayStation asleep in the middle of a mission.
Oh, no.
And so, yeah. And so, like, I turn it back on and it's like, and then take that, you son of a bitch. All right. Well, that's that mission. I don't know what the hell just happened.
I don't know what I was
doing.
Why
did I just boot that guy in the face? I don't remember. So I ended up going back to the beginning, getting back on the damn mountain.
Right.
And did that whole introductory thing again. And then so I have played a little bit past where I left off, but I mean, yeah, no, it's incredible. It's basic. I mean, it's the same. It really is essentially the same game. It just looks prettier. It's got
It moves so slow now. There's like, it feels like there's so much to take care of. Like, make sure you feed your horse. Make sure you feed your guy.
Yeah.
Make sure you take care of this. Take care of that. Like, I just want to play a game, man.
Yeah, cowboy responsibilities now. Okay?
I don't want no cowboy responsibilities.
Cowboy, you're not a little. Ranch hand, you know?
I do like that the campsite is a little more intricate and detailed than the old one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could do without some of the make sure you eat, you know, and all that kind of stuff. A feature they did add, though, when you go to sleep that I love is it gives you options for how long you sleep.
Yeah.
You can either wake up in the afternoon and it's like, oh, that'll be 4 hours. Or you can go the whole like, hey, you want to go for the morning? It's going to be 18 hours. You got it. Because there's definitely been times where I go, all right, I'm going to do this mission I really want some daylight for. And then I would kind of figure out how many times do I got to, you know, put in the old game, John Marston to sleep.
Right.
I gotta save the game three times so I can do this mission in the daytime. All right, whatever. Well, with this one, it just lets you put him to bed for 16 hours if you have to.
I don't know. Every time I've sat down to play it, whether it's the single player mode or the multiplayer, I almost immediately, I'm like, man, I'd rather be playing something I really enjoy.
Oh, see, than trying
to learn
it.
This new game.
Yeah.
I'd rather be playing something I already know I like.
Well, you make me feel real good about my decision and not getting it.
Yeah, to get Fallout
instead.
Everybody
lights me up. Yeah. Oh, dude, you even mention Fallout on the internet?
Right.
You know what happens?
What?
Here's what happens. Okay, pretend like you're typing up a little tweet.
Oh, sure.
I really like Fallout 76.
Fallout 76, great game.
Fallout sucks! Red Dead Redemption for life, bitch! Fallout sucks!
James, why are you hurting me?
That's
you're so stupid!
That's the internet.
You play that garbage!
I'm like, whoa, dude, I posted a picture of me and my dog.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
I mentioned that I was playing Fallout. And I'm like, my dog is so excited to play Fallout with me. She smiled for a selfie. I'm just posting a cute picture of my dog.
Yeah.
You're garbage. You're playing a garbage game. It is. You have no brain. You're so stupid. Red Dead Redemption is the awesomest game ever.
I'm like, whoa, dude, I'm just trying to let you guys know my dog is cute. I have a cute dog and I love her.
Right.
Thank you for sharing your unsolicited opinion on Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know.
It almost bugs me a little bit that people are super into it because I love Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
And, you know, circling back to my ongoing theme that I hate people.
Right.
I feel like I'm a part of the masses now and I don't like that.
Yeah, congratulations.
You're one of us, Al.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Well, I'm going to have to try and, I don't know, I'm going to have to try and figure out what I don't like about the game. Because, like I said, every time I play it, I'm like, man, I'm just going to play this other game.
Yeah, if you want to spend your time brushing your horse, you just go get a My Little Pony, you know? You know, if I got to brush my horse and clean up after the horse, I already got a dog. I'm already cleaning up poop in my own house.
That's true.
I don't want to pretend to do it. And the video game world, you know, I go to the video game realm to escape real life responsibilities.
I do have an issue sometimes when they try and make games too realistic.
Yeah.
Because that exact reason you said, my reality is terrible. I am miserable. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to escape
this. Yeah, I am here to have a good time and escape this.
Yeah, I mean, like...
Well, that was kind of my experience, my brief experience with Grand Theft Auto 5, too, which you played all the way through,
yeah.
Is that I feel like with the Rockstar games, they're really trying to do too much at once.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I just want to steal a car and maybe run over a dude and shoot some guys or something like that. Right.
A hooker in the face and go rob a bank and now I'm good to go. You know,
I want to escape my reality, not just continue.
Oh, wow.
I want to hop
on some business. Oh, we're still doing the podcast. Yeah. Oh.
I want to hop on my horse and ride into town and punch a guy in the face and get drunk at the saloon.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need all this
saddles.
Extra stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. If it's got an engrossing Grand Theft Auto 5, I love so much because I was super engrossed by the story.
Yeah.
I really like, and Trevor. Trevor was a lot of fun.
Grand Theft Auto 5 confused me because there was like three different characters.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
And once I got the hang of that, it was a lot better. But yeah, like the one was the most obnoxious at first, Trevor.
Yeah.
And then he ended up being the most fun.
Right.
Like you'd switch to him. And he'd wake up and he'd be wearing a dress and drunk and go, oh, I don't know what happened last night. I'm like, I don't either. There was the one time.
Which one's Trevor? That's not the guy that's like fresh off the boat, is it?
No, that's four.
Oh, I'm not even in the right Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, no.
Okay, my
bad. Right?
I know I have.
Yeah, because he had Roman. No, Roman was the cousin.
He's like a
Nico
bald
Bellic.
Dude. There's a white dude. And a
Nico,
white
my cousin.
My cousin, Nico. That was Grand Theft Auto 4. No, so maybe it is. No, because Grand Theft Auto 5 was the only one I knew of where you had to switch characters between the three.
Right, because I don't think you switch characters in 4.
Yeah, no, I don't remember anyone being...
James has got his Grand Theft Auto.
I got my game.
Maybe.
Up.
I don't know. So, but no, there's this guy with the mustache, and he was a little bit of a loose cannon, Trevor, and he was so much fun.
I loved
of the times I switched to him. And you never know, because they go about living their lives, and like I said, he was wearing a dress and hung over one time, and then another time, I go to him, and he's at Muscle Beach, and he's got like this meathead in front of him. He's like, no, screw you! And the guy like decks him. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Picking a fight.
Yeah, or I switched to him, and he was hammered driving a car, and so I run over someone and the cops start chasing me. I'm like, I just want to do a mission before I go to work.
I just got here.
What are you doing?
So it sounds like they based the character off of anybody who lives in Florida.
Yeah, okay. He is Florida man.
Drunk, wearing a dress, picking a fight at Muscle Beach, driving intoxicated.
I think you may be onto something here,
Mr. Florida man.
Yeah. He was a lot of fun. He was fun. I liked it, Trevor.
I didn't even get that far.
Me neither, because I didn't realize he was there.
All right. Well, I mean, we'll cover Red. I don't know. We'll cover Red Dead in more.
I love a Nerd Radio segment that ends with Chuck just shrugging at me. I guess that's it.
We gotta take a break.
I guess that'll do it.
I'm gonna have Mike Pandolf come in just a couple minutes. We're gonna talk about we're gonna eulogize the Marvel Netflix shows as those are on their way out the door.
Bye. Well, you know my feelings on
talk
that.
About some Daredevil. Yeah, you don't care. You're not watching.
You don't care. It's I barely either. I'm out.
I tried them all.
Yeah,
couldn't get me Marvel.
So that's what we're gonna do for the rest of Nerd Radio. Thank you guys as always for coming in and talking some nerd stuff. We'll reconnect with you guys next week. Stick around. There's more Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
What?
This is Nerd Radio.
What?
Wow.
What?
Welcome back to Nerd Radio, wherever you get your podcasts, as well as on your social media at Nerd Radio 101. Mr. Mike Pandolf!
Yes, good Chuck, I am back.
Welcome to the show, brother.
Welcome back. I missed you.
I'm trying to fake as much enthusiasm as possible, not for your, not for you being on the show, just for having just woken up about 10 minutes ago.
Busy man.
As we sit down to talk about what we're about to talk about, I've had a hectic weekend. Didn't get a whole lot of sleep before. I'm in the middle of doing an overnight. It is Monday morning, technically.
Well, yeah, you were busy being a rock star all weekend.
I was. But I bring up the fact that it's Monday morning because I read just a couple hours ago that this is actually going to be the week that we get a our first view of the next Avengers movie on Wednesday instead of last week.
As of this recording, I'm sure you'll probably end up talking to Al and James about it later. I think we're getting a Captain Marvel trailer, too, which would make sense.
Yep.
Because why would we have seen Black Panther in the Avengers Infinity War trailer in his new suit? So it kind of makes sense that they're kind of doing it like they did with Black Panther last year. Yeah. I'm going to show you Captain Marvel, and then we're going to show you her in probably Avengers Infinity War as well.
Yeah, I kind of, not to get too sidetracked, but I kind of like this, instead of just doing origin movies leading into a team-up movie, I like this kind of new version of like, hey, we're going to put Black Panther in this other guy's movie, so you see him first there, and then he'll get you already know who the character is, so now we'll give you the backstory who he is. Same with Captain Marvel. Like, hey, we're going to give you some backstory after we kind of introduce her.
You know what I'm more excited for before we get into this? We get to see young Phil Coulson. Oh, it's going to be great to see Phil back on the big screen.
Such a nerd for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I swear to God. All right. Well, we are here to talk about some Marvel TV, and that is the season of Daredevil, which I finished about, I want to say about a month ago or something like that, but we've been in passing in the hallway. We're like, man, we got to talk about Daredevil.
Oh, yeah.
Because Al ain't going to get to it.
No. Al, I think, has given up on anything TV superhero related. Every time I talk to him, he's just like, yeah, it's just not. Nah. I'm like,
Well, anyone who listens to the show knows that Al doesn't have a lot of joy in his life. So he's excited, exercised most anything that would be a lot of fun. He doesn't read a lot of comic books anymore. He does, but he likes to come on the show and yell about stuff.
Oh, yes.
So, We love having him here, but me and you both really enjoying that the third season of Daredevil.
Yeah, because I even read the comic leading into it that they really based it off of, and it was just, you know what's great about,
it's the Frank Miller Born Again story.
Born Again, yeah, Frank Miller Born Again, and
which oddly enough they did not borrow. it isn't like panel for panel, page for page, beat for beat, Born Again.
You want to know when my nerd boner kicked in, though? Is when...
I don't ever want to know when you got a boner.
It was the scene with the taxi cab. That was one of the best ones. And especially, like, did they find the body?
Yeah.
There is no body.
Right.
And that's what I liked. We've talked about this before with a lot of Marvel stuff. I like it when they don't completely rip off the pages and throw it on the screen.
Sure.
But when they take elements and those little nods was, that was really well done. And I kind of like you were talking about, like, even before they announced, unfortunately, it canceling, that this felt kind of like a great conclusion. At the end, with a nice little Easter egg at the end.
Of all the Netflix shows, Daredevil feels like the one that the writing team every season is very good at kind of putting a bow on it and making sure that, like, hey, you know, in case we don't come back, it kind of feels like this could be it. And you know, not too upset about it.
No, you know, not
usually,
at all.
I think it was it season one that ends with Foggy and Karen and Matt all in the bar.
Yep.
You know, and you're like, oh, that's nice.
Season two was the only one where they were kind of hinting at, yeah, we will be back for more. And that was just because of the cliffhanger, because of Isha the Helmet.
It's a little bit like watching the progression of the Marvel movies. Like, at that point, they knew, like, well, we're definitely doing Defenders. So let's give you a little bit of a cliffhanger into that.
They could have even wrapped up Daredevil and Defenders when you really think about it.
Absolutely.
If they wanted to, they could have ended it right there.
Drop a building on him, and he's done.
Yeah, he's done.
That's it. You ain't seeing Matt Murdock ever again. Bullseye was fantastic.
Oh my gosh. That's like the only sad thing about like it ending.
The real joy of season three of Daredevil is watching Bullseye at work. Like it's one of those things where they took a character that is very fun and has been interpreted in the movie version, the Ben Affleck movie, and really Marvelized it, if you will.
Yes.
They took a character that could be really hokey and has been a little hokey, once again, in that Ben Affleck movie, and really made it kind of great.
Yeah, especially during the office scene. That's when you really realized Bullseye can make anything a weapon.
Yeah.
That he, like, oh, here's a pen, here's a stapler, oh, here's the staplers in the stapler,
yeah,
and I'm going to chuck it at you, and it could probably kill you. And I liked how they really used, because that was the issue with the Ben Affleck one, is that they relied on you seeing it too much through the radio, like his earwave
sure.
stuff, which I also like that they never really showed that. Yeah, sonar.
I think it was like season one where they gave you kind of a view of like the world like on fire.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of Neo from The Matrix.
Yep.
But I liked seeing it from just his, like, just looking at Daredevil and him just being like, what the hell? Like, he was trying to pick up on things and him reacting to everything getting tossed at him.
Yeah, him kind of figuring out that he can't, he gets a real good feel, Daredevil does, very quickly that running away from Bullseye is not the plan.
No.
Because he'll just throw stuff at you, and as cool as the sonar is, it's not good. It's not like a Spidey sense, man.
No, he can't just dodge things because like he hears it coming.
Right.
And I like
so he figures out very quickly that the way to actually beat Bullseye is to get in close.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can get him to stop throwing things at you. But he's also the Bullseye character. I can't remember the agent's name.
Oh, his name was Dex. He was played by Wilson Bethel.
Yeah.
Fun fact, he was up for Captain America. He's one of the finalists. And like looking at it though, but it's just like, yeah, you wouldn't have fit that suit. So I'm glad, like Marvel, you try out for Marvel. If you don't get the role, they'll think about you down the line for something else. And I'm really glad he really got the psychotic side of Bullseye down too. That's another thing I really liked about this whole season. And of course, Vincent D'Onofrio just being Kingpin at his finest throughout
You absolutely had to cash in on the Kingpin story from season one.
And I loved how he just manipulated the hell out of the system to the core. And everyone was just so oblivious, especially the FBI agent. I can't think of his name, but how he thought he wasn't going to get manipulated, but then that whole scene where he finally gets pulled in the Kingpin world. I loved how he just was shell-shocked after that.
Right.
And he realized how deep Kingpin's pockets really were.
And that's a thing, too, is that you were saying when we started talking about this, is that they kind of based this season off of Born Again. Really, they kind of pick and choose some elements from a lot of really good Daredevil stories, because the whole Kingpin, and this is a kind of a spoiler for season three of Daredevil, but Kingpin kind of getting his tentacles into the FBI or you know, manipulating so many parts of the system comes from Brian Michael Bendis's run. One of the last stories he did of Daredevil is called The Murdoch Papers, I believe, that has a lot of you know, Kingpin working the system against Matt.
Exactly.
Which is real cool. And you even get the big tease for anyone that Red Guardian Devil, which was Kevin Smith's story of Daredevil. There's near the end of the season, you get the church. And you get Bullseye in the church. Karen is there. He is there to kill Karen.
Yes.
And you know, anyone who's Red Guardian Devil, you feel like you know where this is going, and it's not going to be a good time. And it takes a twist on you, which is even better.
Right.
Like you were saying before, it's cool that you don't get... I'm sure there's plenty of people that aren't happy that you don't get exactly what you read in the comics
you do want that, but like just like us with our fan fiction BS with Star Wars, sometimes we don't like it when it happens, and we do like it when it does happen. And I really like that twist on that whole thing, because I haven't read that Kevin Smith, but if you listen to a Kevin Smith podcast, he'll talk about it. So I was expecting that since season one. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, okay. The only weakness I really had in this season, and it's not a knock on the actress who played Karen Page, but I could have gone without that whole episode really revolving around her backstory to a certain degree. I felt like that was kind of like a filler. Like that, I felt like that could have been more interspliced, like maybe 10, 15 minutes, but it was still good. It was still great acting on her part.
Yeah, and I don't know that I completely disagree. However, I disagree in that, once again, with this being, you know, the third season of Daredevil, we've implied heavily since the first season that Karen Page has something of a dark past, and they wanted to show you almost exactly what she's been running away from.
Okay.
And I absolutely appreciate that, even if it took an entire episode to do it.
Yes.
I didn't feel it. Any part of the Daredevil season three really... dragged it all?
No.
Like it all. The only thing for me, which I know bummed you out when you wanted to talk to me about it, was the infamous one shot that they've done every season. There's always a one shot fight where the camera doesn't cut. It's literally like about 5 to 10 minutes of one continuous fight scene. And the one shot this particular season was a prison break.
Yes.
And unfortunately, when I watched it, I saw it, I had to keep stopping it because I had to go do something else, or because I was sleepy and I had to go to bed or something like that. So the one shot nature of it didn't work for me because I saw it in three separate sittings.
But like, because that was like what I was waiting for. And then like, you really didn't like... when it just like season one and season two, once it starts happening and you realize what's going on, when you I watched it from beginning to end, I was like, oh, you guys just want to show how great you can do this. Okay, let's see how.
Right.
And the way they amped it, and even like mid-par, stop the fighting, we're gonna have a little dialogue and then continue. I just thought it was well done, and the way Charlie Cox acted towards the end of just being pure exhausted.
Yeah, that's
I
one
love
of the things.
That.
That's one of the things I absolutely. Out of all the people that they've cast for the different characters in the Marvel Netflix shows, Charlie Cox is definitely the best of them.
Yeah,
he will forever be associated with this character.
Yeah, because he was probably the strongest part in the Defenders.
Yeah,
when they like every time Daredevil was in the Defenders, he was still in the scene.
Yeah,
mainly because he had the best storyline, but. Yeah, he's just such a great actor.
As an actor, he's figured out how to just little nods of the head or turning the head, cocking an ear almost like a dog.
Yeah.
Like he gives a real good sense of not only the blindness of Daredevil, but the radar sense of like that's why they don't have to show us the world on fire so many times, is because all you have to do is see Charlie Cox kind of cock his head to the side, you know what's happening.
Right. Oh, man. No, and it makes sad.
It makes it even sadder that the news is that Daredevil has been officially canceled by Netflix. which means that, that's Iron Fist, Luke Cage, and Daredevil. We will get a second season of Punisher in 2019.
Thank you.
And we will get a third season of Jessica Jones.
Yeah, because that Punisher is already wrapped up. I think they're just doing post-production, probably reshots here and there. And then Jessica Jones season three is already in mid-production. So
right.
Those are the main reasons why we haven't heard of them. I think they're going to give them their swan songs.
I would imagine. It would be really silly to have spent all the money to shoot this and hire actors and stuff like that and then not follow through on it.
It just sucks because I feel like all of them are casted so well and I can't, like, either they're going to put these characters to rest for 5 years so we forget about these actors and we just have this nice little small Marvel one-shot, which I'm cool with.
Which, once again, would be kind of sad considering how well Charlie Cox nailed Matt Murdock.
Exactly!
Or the same thing with, was it Josh Berthal doing the Punisher?
Oh, John Berthal. He's the Punisher. Like,
he's fantastic.
And it's kind of crazy because the last two guys, Thomas Jane and Steven, we always forget this guy's name from Warzone, but it just seems like the last three actors always get their stride as Punisher, and then something happens, and then they can't play it anymore, and I'm like, gosh.
Right. But, a lot of people, we all know that the Disney streaming service is coming up very quickly on us.
I was actually doing research, and this, from Rolling Stones, this TV critic,
I know what you're going to bring up. Alan Sepinwall was on Twitter talking about the fact that these, as much as people think, they're just going to move these over to, they're just going to move these
It's not ran
over
by the same Marvel. It still has Marvel name, but there's two entities. There's Marvel Entertainment and Marvel Studios. And Studios has... They're taking
Marvel
over.
Studios are the movies.
Yeah, and they're
Marvel
doing
Entertainment
all their,
is the television.
They're doing, I think, a Scarlet Witch TV show, which I think could be really well done. And a Vision TV show. And I thought I heard one more.
Bucky and Falcon and Loki.
Okay, yeah. So they're pretty much just all of our minor characters that they don't want to make movies for. Or they do, but they don't want to risk not making cash on. They're going to make awesome, probably like, I think they're going to be miniseries. I couldn't see doing multiple seasons.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be great. Especially that Bucky Falcon one. That's kind of a...
That could be fun, and you saw a lot of the interplay with those two in Civil War.
That could be a great buddy cop movie there, right?
So they like, don't get along, but they kind of get along. So, and actually, I didn't think about it until now. That kind of has some implications on the last Avengers or the next Avengers movie.
Yeah, because
like
both...
If Bucky and Falcon are hanging out and there's no Cap, then... Yeah, because they both mean there's no Cap?
Yeah, because they both would take the mantle in the comics.
All right.
Oh,
but I also saw that Alan Sepinwall had, I think he was the one that had pointed out that the clear disconnect between Marvel Studios and Marvel Entertainment came to light when they were doing Civil War around the time your favorite show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., was setting up the Inhumans. Somebody had asked somebody on the set of Civil War, like, hey, how are you going to incorporate Inhumans into these movies? And they just kind of got a blank look and like, what are you talking about?
Well, yeah, and I think it was mainly after, like, Feige took over because I don't know the executive name over there. It's on top of my head. But I feel like it's a money issue. I feel like the TV, from what I hear, he likes to spend as less money as possible, while Feige is a guy who's like, no, if we're going to go all in, we're going to go all in, like, blank check kind of guy.
I read an article on Forbes about this very subject because there's been a lot of stuff written about it, and they said one of the things is that Hulu, which is kind of 20th Century Fox's streaming service, they're still going to get stuff like Runaways and Cloak and Dagger. And that kind of stuff. And Hulu might be the landing pad for these shows because Hulu is actually... Disney Plus is going to be a little bit more family-friendly.
Which would make sense.
Which is where Marvel Studios will do their work. So maybe Marvel Entertainment will do their work over on Hulu. So you can still get, shows like Daredevil or Iron Fist or something like that.
Like the rumor,
though. It remains to be seen.
Of course, everyone wants just, like, if Daredevil can't have a show, put him in a movie. And I like the idea that the most character that would make sense if you're going to pair him off or have him, be like the Thor, Hulk to the Thor, would be a Black Widow movie. If they do a Black Widow movie, that would make sense why she would recruit him because of his ability.
Even in the comics, that always felt weird.
It does feel weird, but like if you think about it logically, if his skill sets would become very useful to her in right. a situation, like in Secret Wars,
back in the 80s when Black Widow and Daredevil were like she was in every issue of Daredevil for X amount of time, and you know, like wait a minute, so you went from being a Soviet super spy to being an Avenger, and now you're slumming it in Hell's Kitchen with Matt Murdock. Like I'm sure you're in love and everything, but I mean, come on, man. Oh, you know that the world is bigger.
Redhead love.
I know. Matt Murdock is one of those, he's been around. The ladies love Matt Murdock.
Oh, but at the end of the day, the Daredevil, it really was, of course, my boy Phil Coulson. He did give his nod to the show, and it was a brilliant run. Like, this was the Daredevil we wanted since 03.
Out of all the Netflix shows, Daredevil is by far the highest quality.
Oh, and...
It's the most probably universally, you can, you know, watch it. I mean, Jessica Jones has a great first season. I can't speak on the second one because I haven't gotten to it. And that's the thing, too, is that I still need to get through the first season of Iron Fist, second season of Jessica Jones, second season of Luke Cage, and the second season of Iron Fist on all these Netflix shows. With all of them ending like this, do I really need to watch them?
I will say this. I got halfway through Jessica Jones and life happened, and the noir stories, they're hard to get through to begin with, and that's what Jessica Jones is.
Right.
But the Luke Cage one is the one that made me the most mad because it ends on such a cool idea. Such a cool cliffhanger, and I've heard the same thing about Iron Fist. And that's
right,
where it kind of sucks.
Amy, my girlfriend, actually had told me, because she watched all of the second season of Iron Fist, and said it was significantly better than the first, and said that the ending is very good. I won't spoil it for you in case you want to see it. But she said the ending was, when she found out it was canceled, she's like, I can't believe I'm angry they canceled Iron Fist after hating season one so much, because I really wanted season three.
At least we still got the Arrowverse.
Yeah, that's the thing, too, is that, you know, it's another one of those the sad stories is that with the divide between Marvel Studios and Marvel Entertainment, it's similar to them doing the Justice League movies and being like, well, we do have this guy that's played Green Arrow for about 5 years, and Grant Gustin has been doing a great job in The Flash, but you know what? We can get Ezra Miller.
Yeah.
And that disconnect is awful.
Yeah, and say we'll make a movie, and now we're going on 3 years, and they've gone through 6 directors, I think.
Yeah.
But we shall see what Marvel is going to be very interesting after post-Infinity War.
I'm sure.
Because they keep hinting at things.
All right, you're going to, this is where we're going to end the conversation tonight, and you're going to love this because this is right in your wheelhouse, because you are the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fan. You are they've got one fan, and it's you.
Are you going to give me an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. radio?
I'm going to ask you a question about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So when Infinity War happened,
oh, okay.
Did it affect the show whatsoever?
That's the brilliant of it. So they really stopped doing the whole connecting to the movies about after, I want to say it was like season 4, they really stopped kind of doing it. The last thing I really remember them connecting was the Hellcarrier and Avengers 2. And then they brought in Ghost Rider, and he did the same thing. He could do the same powers kind of as Doctor Strange, and that was it. And there was a book missing on Doctor Strange. That's about it.
Right.
It was very small things. And then when season 5's about to end, New York's just happening.
So they just landed it.
And they didn't even mention it. They're like, we're too busy right now because there's a bunch of other crazy ass crap going on in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to the point where they're like, we can't handle this because the world's about to end. This other character thinks he can save the world. And he's,
Graviton.
Name. Graviton. They're dealing with Graviton, and they're like, all right, we'll worry about this, and that's all they're focused on.
So,
and they finally fixed that issue that everyone hated about S.H.I.E.L.D., that you had to go see the movie to get what was going on in the show, which...
As a quick follow-up question, when does the next season come back?
It comes back this summer, and they already greenlit a season 7, which makes me even more excited.
All right, so they're actually going to have both halves of the Avengers movies having already happened by the time they come back.
Yeah, and you'll have Captain Marvel already happen back then, so...
Right.
It's going to be interesting, especially with the whole Inhumans thing, and I just love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., okay?
I ask you about it because that way I don't have to watch it.
Dude, one day, Chuck, one day, I'm just going to get you all liquored up and lock you in a room.
Yeah, with nothing but Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. DVDs. All right, fair enough. I'll talk to you later, man. I gotta go. I got about a minute here. Yeah, I gotta go do a little bit of work. Thanks for coming in.
No problem, Chucky.
Always a pleasure to have you on Nerd Radio. We're back in a minute. Don't call me Chucky. I'll beat your ass.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Have a great weekend!
Golden Radio.
I know!
See you later, nerds.
And we're out.
So, I mean, we can touch on that. I've got some non-information about Matt Smith.
You should tell that exact story.
All right.
That's a extremely Al Beck story, and I feel like everyone needs to know it.
All right.
Everyone, you should share it with everybody. Share it with the class.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.